It is a very bad analogy when people equate the gay rights battle with the battle that African Americans have fought in this country. Gays and lesbians were never shipped over here from another country in chains. We have never bought and sold homosexual people. We have not owned homosexual people. Homosexual people have, in fact, always had the right to vote, to own property, to participate as full citizens. As a matter of fact, studies consistently show that the income of the average homosexual citizen tends to be higher than that of the average heterosexual citizen, and the same certainly cannot be said to this day for African Americans as a population. So the analogy just simply does not hold up.
That's Joe Dallas of Genesis Counseling earlier this week on Issues Etc. And what you just heard was soundbite number 3 in half an hour. Yeah, half an hour if I'm counting correctly. We're going to start playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We're going to have 5 of them for you today because we couldn't choose between 2 from Pastor David Peterson. You've already heard one of them. And we're going to ask you to listen to all 5. Give us a call or email us and tell us which is your soundbite of the week and why. Rocky Hulse is our guest for about the next 10 minutes. He's president of the Nauvoo Christian Visitor Center in Nauvoo, Illinois. He and his wife Helen are going to be making a presentation on Mormonism Sunday afternoon at 4 at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville. He joins us to talk about Christianity and Mormonism. Rocky, welcome back.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
I understand that you've received a death threat or two. What's going on?
Well, I think that our ministry is being effective in providing information out there that, unfortunately, a lot of Mormons have never heard or don't understand some of the doctrines and theologies of their own religion. And I know some people may find that hard to believe, but rank-and-file Mormons, for the most part, really don't know the in-depth doctrines of their church. And what this ministry does through several different mediums, one of them is an international television program called Truth Outreach. We, every week, tackle subjects on Mormonism, and we document where they come from, and 95% of our documentation are Mormon-published books themselves. And I guess some folks have taken offense to that and don't like us publicizing what Mormon theology really is.
I want to come back to that in a second, because I found that to be one of the most frustrating things when it comes to dealing with Mormonism, too, and that is Mormons themselves don't know what they ought to be believing if they're dyed-in-the-wool Mormons. What's
right.
The biggest myth that Mormons entertain about Christians? And then same question, vice versa.
I'd say the biggest myth that Mormons entertain about Christians would be that Christianity was lost from the earth after the apostles died. A major portion of their theology, in fact, their whole reason for existence, was that there was a need for a restoration, that Christianity died out with the apostles, and so, therefore, it had to be restored to the earth, and so God chose Joseph Smith as his prophet of the restoration, and that is how Mormonism came about.
What's the biggest myth that Christians entertain about Mormons?
That Mormonism is Christian, and we're not being bad people, or we're not being mean to Mormons, or to actually to Mormonism, to say it's not Christian, because by definition of its own doctrines, it places its theology, its doctrine, places it outside of Orthodox apostolic Christianity.
What is the significance of Nauvoo, Illinois for Mormons in general, but especially LDS Mormons?
Well, this is where a majority of their unique doctrines were formulated. The Mormons came here from Missouri. They were run out of Missouri for a lot of different reasons and came to Nauvoo in late 1839 and began building this place up. Joseph Smith brought forward a great deal of their very unique doctrines were born here. They left here in 1846. Again, they were run out of this state, and you know the Mormons say that they were persecuted over and over and over again. Well, they were run out of New York, they were run out of Ohio, they were run out of Missouri, they were run out of Illinois. I don't think that all the citizens in those states were all hateful, vile, vicious people. I think one just needs to look back at the history to see why that happened. But nonetheless, this is where they left from to go to Salt Lake City, which was a barren territory, and that's where they established Mormonism and practiced a theological government out there for many years before they became a state.
So Nauvoo was kind of Salt Lake City before Salt Lake City.
Oh, absolutely. It has huge significance in Mormon history, and in fact, during the summer here, we're about 4 hours north of you there in St. Louis, and from May to September, there are more than 500,000 tourists come through this little town of 1,100 people. It holds that much significance. It's almost like a Hajj to Mecca, if you will, for the Mormon populace.
Did they recently rebuild a temple there? If I'm remembering this incorrectly, Rocky.
No, you're right on the money. A temple was built here back in the 1840s, the Nauvoo Temple. Mormons refer to it as Joseph's Temple. It was after they left in 1846, several years later, it was burned, and then a tornado hit it, and it was destroyed. And so in 2002, it was rebuilt and dedicated and is one of their functioning temples today.
And what, if you could put it in a nutshell for our listeners, what's the significance of a temple to, we have one here in St. Louis, and what goes on there that is integral to Mormons' beliefs and practices?
Mormon temples are a significant departure from what we know of the biblical temple, of Solomon's temple or the ordinances that were performed in the tabernacle and or Herod's temple during Jesus' day. Mormon temples are in fact closed on Sunday. They're not even open. It's really not a place to worship. Mormon temples, the ceremonies that are done there, elevate a living Mormon to a level of Mormon theology that is called eternal increase and will allow them in the next life to achieve godhood and become a god themselves, create their own universe, have their own earth, and then populate that earth with their direct offspring. Those ceremonies conducted in a Mormon temple allow that. Now, the first time that a living person goes through a Mormon temple, they go through and do those ceremonies called the endowment for themselves. But then they're commanded to come back often, and when they do, they go through those ceremonies by proxy for someone who is dead. And they perform ceremonies in a Mormon temple, which they believe will allow the dead to become gods also. And so that's a very unique Mormon doctrine where they believe they can save the dead. And in reality, probably 95% of the ceremonies that are performed in Mormon temples are performed for the dead, not the living.
Rocky Hulse is president of the Nauvoo Christian Visitors Center in Nauvoo, Illinois. Rocky and his wife, Helen, are going to be making a presentation on Mormonism this coming Sunday afternoon at 4 at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville. Now, the public is invited to attend this seminar Sunday afternoon at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, and there's no charge for attendance. For more information, you can call Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. They'd be happy to tell you about it. Their phone number, area code 618-344-5151. Area code 618-344-5151.
Actually, I think that's 3151.
3151. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. So it's 618-344-3151. 344-3151. Thank you, Rocky, and thanks for correcting our number there. Thanks for being our guest.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate always coming on. It was good to talk to you again, and y'all do a great job there, KFUL.
Thank you very much. Well, for the remainder of this segment, I hope we can get through this. It's going to be a little difficult, but Okay, here's the story. This is just the backstory. Sunday night, we had a great show with Dr. Wayne Grudem on evangelical feminism. And, of course, his book on evangelical feminism traces the rise of feminism among evangelicals. Dr. Peter Scare was our guest in the second hour Sunday night for the nationally syndicated edition of Issues, etc. We ended up talking a lot about women's ordination because that's the form that that feminism takes, whether you're in a liberal denomination or in an evangelical denomination. And we got a lot of reaction, people calling in. So when Jeff comes in Monday morning, I believe, to his office, he has a message waiting for him. This actually gave us a great idea to have a feedback line for Issues, et cetera, where people can call and agree or disagree and leave their message. And then we can bring them on the air for, you know, we can bring the messages on the air for people to hear them. Just to get a little idea of what the listeners are saying to us. This one just struck us as very interesting. It's a little lengthy, and it is quite interesting. We're going to stop and start it here. We want your reaction, too. It comes from a lady out in Seattle, I believe. No, not in Seattle. I don't know where she was calling from, but she identified herself as Minister Roth. I think I'm getting her name right. Minister Roth. Here's our phone number, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, she addresses her comments to Jeff because it was Jeff's phone that she called. Here she is.
Good morning, Jeff. My name is Minister Roth. I'm calling in regards to your show of much hatred, and even the women who you say are so feminist and trying to take the church over seem like the machoism of you men. You could take your machoism, your ability to kick a woman down and get her out of the church. You also compare women to homosexuals. No women I know go around town telling gay men, come on, girl, let's do this thing together, because a gay man's agenda is different than a woman's agenda. He want to bend to your husband's ass, too. And so she not into that because that's lewd to a woman.
Now, before we let her go on, that alone would just be the kind of thing that Jeff would probably say, you got to hear this, and then we'd just erase it. Someone who misunderstood what we were trying to say. I mean, so far it sounds like she misunderstood what we were trying to say. We did not compare women to homosexuals. And we made no comparison between women and homosexuals. We simply said that the arguments that both liberal and evangelical churches make to ordain women are the same arguments that liberal churches today are making to ordain homosexuals. The same scriptural arguments. That's all we said. We made no comparison between women and homosexuals. But the comments get a little more substantive, and it continues for almost another 4 minutes. Now, feel free to react, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here again, more from Minister Roth.
Every woman I know who's a minister preaches the word of Jesus Christ. Your show spews nothing but hatred. I called your show last night, told you who I was. You put me on hold, let me listen to the whole program, but the coward you wouldn't come back to the phone. God is holding you responsible, Jeff, for the time when the church should be coming together and you are tearing them apart, because anybody who has the power to cast out a demon, to heal the sick, to bring good news to the poor about Jesus Christ as Lord is a good thing.
All right, I got to give Jeff a by the way, you're not Jewish, are you? I didn't think you were Jewish.
No, so if I pronounce it Schwartz, people sometimes think I'm Jewish, but it's really Schwartz. It's
I really should have beeped that because she called you a coward Jew. Did you hear that? No. Can you explain why someone might call the Sunday night program, and this is just good basic explanation for any of our listeners, why someone might call the Sunday night program and be on hold listening to the program, which is what we let our callers do, and never get a chance to talk on the radio?
Well, first of all, we have 7 incoming lines, and they're filled up. Okay, it's a nationally syndicated radio show. I do remember her just because, you know, a woman, I'm minister so-and-so, a woman saying he's a minister. She called with like less than 10 minutes left in the show.
Normally, wouldn't we?
I didn't have time to screen, like, ask her what she wanted to talk about because we got a full board and there's no way we're going to get to
it. But normally, if she would have called, say, halfway through the show.
Right.
She would have been bumped up to the top of
the list. We
always bump
people that disagree with us up to the top.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Okay, so she sat on hold. She did get to hear the whole program. But in fairness to my non-Jewish producer, not that it really makes any difference, it was not an act of cowardice. We actually like having calls that challenge what we're saying on the air for several reasons. It gives us a chance to say it again, and it makes for good radio. And I think we're being fair to her now by allowing her to voice her entire comment to us with you.
And I don't think they're going to be found wrong. God's not going to be asking a woman. And who died and left you guys in charge where God just sat with you and your motley crew and told you everything? You're the only people he could talk to. First one to be filled with the Holy Ghost was a woman. Mary carried the Holy Ghost in her womb, and her cousin Elizabeth. God did a new thing on the earth, and the first one to go back and tell the disciples that Jesus was resurrected from the dead was a woman.
Technically speaking, Mary didn't carry the Holy Spirit in her womb. She carried the Son of God in her womb. The Holy Spirit was the means by which the conception, this miraculous conception, took place, but she didn't carry the Holy Spirit in her womb. But I think probably in the heat of the moment, minister, she's trying to make a point about how the fact that women had the Holy Spirit. Hey, you're not going to get an argument from me that women possess the Holy Spirit.
Mary, and so your misconception and your spewing hatred is not helping at all. And God's going to deal with you for your much ignorance. He is. And I plead the blood of Jesus against your hatred for women. And if women leaders are the reason men are walking out of the church, please walk out, men. Because the Catholic Church has found to have so many homosexual priests molesting boys. Seemed like if you were in such a roar, none of that would have ever made to our shore. So God going to deal with you for your much ignorance. He is. And you just quote certain scriptures of the Bible. And even when Paul was telling the women to be quiet.
Before I let her go on with her argument, this is what I found fascinating about this comment. This is why we wanted to open up a comment line. In the course of her comments here, she actually reiterates many of the very popular arguments for the ordination of women that have been made first in liberal churches and are now gaining acceptance in otherwise, quote-unquote, Bible-believing conservative evangelical churches. She reiterates the argument. She's already had one. Well, women have the Holy Spirit, ergo, they should be pastors. It doesn't follow that just because women possess the Spirit in equal measure to men that they should be pastor. It's not the possession of the Holy Spirit that makes a pastor. In fact, I'm pretty sure that Paul doesn't even require that pastors have the Spirit. I think he assumes they do, but he has a whole list of qualifications, none of which rightly apply to women. This isn't about hating women. I wonder what she'd say about St. Paul. The other argument that she's brought up here, and she's about to jump into it, is the 1 Corinthians argument where Paul tells that women to be silent, and she articulates a very commonly held belief, usually held by liberal churches that ordain women and now homosexuals, but increasingly more so among evangelical churches who are ordaining women. Your reaction to Minister Roth? Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in numbers, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. By the way, you can hear the conversation that got her reaction tomorrow on the program with Dr. Wayne Grudem.
And even when Paul was telling the women to be quiet and wait to get home to ask their husbands questions, women was unlearned at that time, weren't even able to read or write. So they did not know the word, and they were, what did he say? And Paul was telling them, let the word of God go forward, and any questions you have when you get home, ask your husband about the Bible. But don't interrupt the Bible service so the service can flow smoothly. So God be with you. And all the men I know, they are very manly, and me being their minister does not take anything away from them. It builds them up. And so that's all I have to say to you. And you're spearing out pure hatred and evil in the year 2007. Nothing but pure hatred and evil of women, mainly because women are taking leadership roles in the Church of God. If God didn't want women to do this, he wouldn't give them the ability to do this. You are like the Pharisees and scribes, and you stand in the way of the true work.
I think that's it. She managed to say that we spew hatred at least 6 times. Look, folks, whatever you think of issues, etc., this isn't the first time, by the way, that we've been accused of providing hate speech. The first time I ever heard us accused of being hate speech here on Issues, etc., the accusation came from a Lutheran pastor. Now, you might say hate speech in general. I don't know. I just don't see it. But hatred of women? My wife would be mighty surprised. I think she would, to find out that I am a hater of women, a misogynist.
I think the whole 5 minute, how long was it, Buzz?
4:37.
4:37 right. Clip was summarized by her statement, women was unlearned at that time.
Let's not get personal on her.
Well, but I mean, you don't need to say anything else. Women was unlearned at that time.
Now, the argument was, and this is another one of the popular arguments made, as I said, popular at first among liberals. That's why they ordained women 20, 30 years ago, and now among evangelicals, why they're ordaining women, is that what Paul was worried about was that women were unlearned. I'll get my grammar correct. Women were unlearned at the time, therefore that's why he asked them to keep silent. Yeah, it's a way of explaining away Paul's concerns here. Well, Paul didn't want, it's not that he didn't want women to be pastors. It's that women didn't know enough to be pastors, and now that they do, we should let them be pastors. That may explain away one passage. You're never really safe when your theology or your point requires that you explain away something in the New Testament or the Old Testament. Your theology should never be built around your ability to explain away what the Bible says. You should explain what the Bible says rather than try and explain it away. It's a good rule of thumb, really. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, Ann in Crestwood. Welcome. Hi, Ann.
Oh, hi, hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing good.
This reminds me of my sister, who I've talked about before. She's a monk in this group called the Ashayas, or the Society of Ascension, and she goes around to prisons and everything teaching people transcendental meditation. And her gripe quite a while ago was that women can't be ministers, and hey, we grew up Catholic. And
hey,
she was
Ann, I don't want to silence you or anything, but will you hold your thought for just a few minutes?
I sure will.
All right, we got to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll let you finish your thought and the parallel that you see there with your monk sister. Oh, I like the other one, which is, if God didn't want women to be pastors, he wouldn't have made them able to do it. That's an argument that proves too much. If God didn't want murderers to be murderers, he wouldn't have given them the ability to do it either. We'll have more from Ann after this.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It has to do with the magnitude of the gift.
Dr. Ken Weeding, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Blessings of Weekly Communion, talks about the practice of weekly communion.
All depending on the words of Christ, his words of giving, or words of institution, as we call them. All three evangelists and St. Paul are in complete agreement. The scriptural witness there is that our Lord, the night of his betrayal, gave a new testament, a new covenant, not with law commands, but as the beating heart of the gospel, that by which he would come to and feed and love his church, not only in his word, but also in this gift of his holy body given under the bread for Christians to eat and drink. St. Paul writes to the church there, the stated purpose of their gathering together each week is to take the Lord's Supper.
Find out more about the blessings of weekly communion at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Noah's Ark. It's a picture of salvation.
Answers with Ken Ham, whose ministry is building a major teaching center, the Creation Museum, to open near Cincinnati in the spring. Well, Ken, we know that Noah built a huge ship so that his family and the land animals could be saved during the flood. But what do you mean that the ark was a picture of salvation?
Well, if you think about it, Noah's ark is a picture of Jesus. Let me explain why. You see, the Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I believe he would have stood at the door of the ark and preached a message, something like this. There's a flood coming. God's going to judge this world. Believe God's warning and come on board. There's plenty of room for you. Obey God and be saved from the judgment to come. You know, sadly, only Noah's family went on board. Noah's ark is a picture of salvation in Christ. You see, think about it. When Jesus was on earth as a man, he said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he'll be saved." Jesus is our ark of salvation. And just like the people in Noah's day, God's word warns us a judgment is coming, and we need to go through the doorway to be saved. Are you in the ark of salvation? Are you ready for the final judgment?
One of the most intriguing booklets we have at the ministry is one that Ken's written on Noah's ark and Noah's flood. And it's available free on our website, AnswersRadio.com. We have a whole series of booklets there talking about dinosaurs, the origin of races, and why is there death and suffering in the world at AnswersRadio.com.
You know, anyone in the performing arts appreciates a little applause and encouragement from an audience. And in this case, we love to receive your questions, comments, suggestions, and feedback. Like Dee Feaster, who writes, "I trust you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I listened to you and Diane discuss the different dishes you prepared, and it sure sounded yummy. Have a great week." Thanks, Dee. Write pclayton@kfuo.org.
Christ Academy is a two-week residential program for high school-aged men on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Here's the director of Christ Academy, Brian Gurman.
The students at Christ Academy live in the dorms as a seminarian would. They study under the seminary professors, and they worship in Kramer Chapel. And it is literally taking the seminary experience and getting a good taste of it for those 2 weeks. And what they learn in the classroom, then they experience in Kramer Chapel, as that is really the center of the experience, just as it is throughout the academic year here on campus as well.
At Christ Academy, high school-aged men explore the possibility of someday becoming a pastor. Christ Academy takes place June the 17th through the 30th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Look for the Christ Academy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155.
So God gonna deal with you for your much ignorance.
That's Minister Roth reacting to Sunday night's program, and we talked with Dr. Wayne Grudem on evangelical feminism. Anne is still on the line waiting patiently because we had to go to a break. Anne, I want you to finish your thought. You saw a parallel between the reaction here by this listener and a relative of yours.
Yes, my sister. And I hate to say I was in agreement with Jeff when he said, when he kind of laughed about the lady talking about being educated. But my sister and this lady, they're turning the whole issue about pastoring to people, they're turning it into a male-female and whether that's legitimate or not, instead of focusing on what they're supposed to, the whole issue is to share the gospel. And they miss the boat altogether, it seems to me, when it becomes a selfish issue about, I want to do what I want to do despite everything. And I don't think I'm saying this right.
No, I think you're saying it quite well, in fact. Thank you very much, Anne.
Okay.
Now, look, I'm not casting aspersions on any particular person, but I can say from what I've heard, let's use Catherine Jeffords Shorey, the newly elected presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA. She's made it very clear in her public comments that the reason she became a priest was because people told her she thought she might make a good priest, and she wanted to do it. And there was nothing to stop her. And 10 years later, she's the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA. And if you ask her, does the Bible authorize the ordination of women? It doesn't really make any difference anymore because they're going to do what they want to do. I think you put it very well. And Matt calls from Florida. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Todd. How long have you guys had this comment line thing up?
Well, it's not up yet. This is just our fledgling attempt at making people aware of it. Probably sometime next week.
Yeah, no, I've had a comment line. For some reason, they all go to my...
Oh, no, they all go to... They go to you because I am the stealth employee. All comments go to Jeff.
Yeah, it's not an official comment line, but for some reason they always end up in my voice
and
box.
Anyone who's ever used my voicemail knows it's a black hole. Things go in and they never come out.
Well, you're going to be surprised. Well, I don't know how surprised you'll be, but probably most of what you'll get will be like that. The caller talked about, I keep hearing allusions to authority that a pastor has, but I think that it's pretty interesting how most of these denominations come up, and they skip the one big authority that Jesus gave a pastor, and that's the one of the pronouncement of forgiveness of sins, which seems to be, it's a telling point to me when I hear someone talk about, well, women should be allowed to do this, and women should be allowed to do that in the church, and they should be allowed to be a pastor. And most of the time, maybe most of the churches I've been to where they have women, they would never stand up there and say, like is historically done. They stand up there, the pastor, a man, standing in for Jesus, and by his authority, I pronounce forgiveness of sins to all of you.
Right. It's not about who's in charge. Thank you very much, Matt. This is not, that's the funny thing here. The pastoral office is not about who gets to run things or say things or stand in the pulpit. It isn't. It's about who becomes servant of all. That's not often what you hear in arguments for women's ordination. All right, real quickly, I'm going to respond as quick as I can to the arguments that were made by Minister Roth, and she did reiterate many of the popular arguments for the ordination of women. She'd done her homework. If God didn't want women to be pastors, he wouldn't have made them able to be pastors. It's not a question of ability. It's a question of call. Does God call women to be pastors? Scripture seems to indicate no. But then that brings us to the scripture question. She says, you guys are just choosing a few verses to try and make the point that women shouldn't be pastors. Well, right. How many verses do you want? You could make that argument against any doctrine of Scripture. Well, you're just choosing a few verses to prove that Jesus rose from the dead. But if you disregard those verses, you can't conclude that Jesus rose from the dead. Right. If you are willing to scratch out the verses that say Jesus rose from the dead, you will have a Bible that won't bring you to the conclusion that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what Thomas Jefferson did with his New Testament. It's the same argument that was made at Willow Creek in Chicago. They said, look, there are these passages that indicate that women shouldn't be pastors, but if you disregard them, guess what? Women can be pastors! All you have to do is disregard the passages that say they shouldn't be. Yeah, every doctrine of Scripture is proven on one or two or three or few or more verses. What we're not allowed to do is disregard those verses. Sure, we're choosing a few verses, the ones that talk about the subject, but you can't disregard them. And then finally, that if women have the Holy Spirit, they should also be pastors. By that rationale, anyone who has the Holy Spirit should be a pastor. Children, they should be pastors if they want to be. But that really brings us back where Anne took us, and that is, this isn't about what you want to be. St. Paul did not want to be what he was going to be after the call of Jesus Christ. He didn't want it. He wanted the opposite. And if she wants to lay this hatred of women thing at our doorstep, as she did so often in her comments, she will simply have to do that for St. Paul. She'll have to do that for Jesus, who chose no women among his apostles, not because he didn't like them or hated them, or because they didn't have the Holy Spirit or were unlearned. And you'll have to also accuse the entire church until about 1930 of hating women. So go ahead, knock yourself out. Let's play Soundbite of the Week. It's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Our time is short. But we want your phone calls, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Thursday, January the 25th. We've got five sound bites, so I'm going to run through them very quickly. I want your phone calls and your email to tell us which of these is your sound bite of the week. And Minister Roth does not get to be sound bite of the week. I know people will want to vote for her, but that's not a bite. That's a whole meal. All right? Soundbite number one, a caller from Seattle had 2 points about the ordination of women. Let's talk with Calvin in Seattle. He listens on KGNW. Hi, Calvin.
Hello. My thinking on the subject is this. First of all, the Bible is not a poultry chicken that you go to the butcher shop and purchase and cut up the parts that you want to eat and throw the rest away. You know, you digest the whole thing. The second point I want to raise is this. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. A lot of pastors these days in my community are driving Rolls Royces and Cadillacs and so on and so forth. But when I go into the average church in the inner city, the women outnumber the men 25-1. And I say this, if these women hold back their tithes and offerings, then for the most part, these guys are going to be fighting for a seat on the bus.
All right, that's soundbite number one. Calvin in Seattle. Is it your soundbite of the week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Soundbite number two comes from Pastor David Peterson on the natural knowledge of God versus true faith.
This idea is presented as though Muslims or Hindus or Native American religion, that there's something that they see there that's true and that's accurate. But in reality, that's not the case at all. The natural knowledge of God, what the pagans know of God, is only that there is a God and that they are sinners. And that's not a true knowledge of God. It's not faith. And because of that, they always end up worshiping creation and ultimately really worshiping the devil. There's only one way to heaven. And whoever denies the Son does not have the Father.
Pastor David Peterson, soundbite number two. Is it your soundbite of the week? Give us a call and tell us why. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us, and email us early, please. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Soundbite number three is Joe Dallas of Genesis Counseling. This is how he reacts when people try to equate the movement for gay rights with the movement for civil rights.
It is a very bad analogy when people equate the gay rights battle with the battle that African Americans have fought in this country. Gays and lesbians were never shipped over here from another country in chains. We have never bought and sold homosexual people. We have not owned homosexual people. Homosexual people have, in fact, always had the right to vote, to own property, to participate as full citizens. As a matter of fact, studies consistently show that the income of the average homosexual citizen tends to be higher than that of the average heterosexual citizen, and the same certainly cannot be said to this day for African Americans as a population. So the analogy just simply does not hold up.
All right, that's soundbite number three. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or issuesetc@kfuo.org. This next one, soundbite number four, is very quick. You're going to have to listen quickly and pay attention. It's a Pentecostal minister from a recent soundbite we had here on the program on what he thinks being filled with the Holy Spirit's like.
I compare the speaking in tongues and the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a spiritual orgasm where the people feel released.
All right, that speaks for itself. That's soundbite number four. Is it yours? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Remember, you don't have to agree with these. Sometimes you just find them remarkable for any other number of reasons. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's the final one. It's the fifth one. We usually only have four, but this is number five because we simply couldn't choose between this soundbite from Pastor David Peterson and the one we played before.
Well, that's just a complete misreading of what Paul does there. To be sure, Paul begins with this natural knowledge of God.
All right, stop it there, Buzz, if you would. Play it again. Right track, but I didn't set it up correctly. To understand this soundbite, the argument is often made that when Christians worship alongside non-Christians, pray alongside non-Christians, they're simply doing what Paul was doing in the book of Acts when he visited Athens and Mars Hill. Here's Pastor Peterson's response.
Well, that's just a complete misreading of what Paul does there. To be sure, Paul begins with this natural knowledge of God, and that is that he appeals to them to think about this God that they admit they do not know. But he doesn't end it there. At the end of the sermon, he doesn't say, well, you know, your gods are good enough, and they're similar enough, and we have the same idea. But what he ends with is that God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him, that is the man that he has ordained, from the dead. So Paul makes an absolute, explicit, and solid appeal to the real God and is calling them to repentance. They need to be ready for this day that God has appointed. And the only way the world can be judged righteous is if this man has risen from the dead.
That's soundbite number 5. Let's play soundbite of the week here on Issues Etc. Is it soundbite number 1, our caller from Seattle, who had his 2 points about the ordination of women? Is it soundbite number 2, Pastor David Peterson, on the natural knowledge of God versus true faith? Is it Joe Dallas, soundbite number 3, his response to those who equate gay rights with civil rights? Is it soundbite number 4, our Pentecostal minister, with a unique comparison regarding being filled with the Holy Spirit? Or is it soundbite number 5, again, Pastor David Peterson, on whether or not interreligious worship is what Paul was all about when he was visiting Mars Hill in the book of Acts? We've got 5 sound bites. I want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us. We've only got 10 minutes left in the program. Issues, etc@kfuo.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, Thursday, January the 25th. To the phones, we're in Fenton. Catherine is listening. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Good. Good bunch of sound bites, I have to say that.
Thanks.
But I have to go with Joe Dallas. I think it is an absolute insult to African Americans to somehow equate something that is behavior-based, ultimately behavior-based, whether or not you think it is inborn, which I don't, but it's based on a behavior, namely sex, with their struggle for civil rights. So I think Joe Dallas had an excellent point.
All right, Catherine, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Fenton. Let's see what Steve has to say. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Steve, which is your soundbite of the week?
Oh, I have to go with number 4.
The Pentecostal minister and the spiritual orgasm.
Yes.
Why?
And the reason why is most Christians would go for that over true faith any day of the week.
All right, thank you. Short and sweet from Steve. So that's one vote for Joe Dallas, soundbite number 3, one vote for soundbite number 4, our Pentecostal minister, and how he regards being filled with the Holy Spirit. I said when we first played that, it says a lot about what Pentecostalism is, if that's what you're looking for. The phone lines are wide open for your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week this Thursday, the 25th of January, 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Tomorrow on the program, you'll hear what all the hoopla was about, at least with Minister Roth. When you listen, you'll hear our interview with Dr. Wayne Grudem and Dr. Peter Scheer, those 2 hours talking about evangelical feminism, and you'll be able to judge for yourself whether we are able to put to bed the arguments that are often made for women's ordination. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Jim's up next. He calls from his car. Hi, Jim.
Hello. I agree with Catherine. Number 3 would be my pick.
All right. You're going for 3-2, and why so?
Well, it just provides validity to the debate and gives me something more to use when talking about that.
All right. Thank you very much. That's what I thought when I heard that, which is this is the kind of thing you can put in your pocket and carry around with you all the time. Fred is on the line. Fred, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi.
Hi.
I didn't hear all of them. I heard most of them, but I got to agree with that lady, Joe Dallas, for sure. Not much more to say, but if you need another vote, Joe Dallas, it's the ultimate insult to blacks.
All right. Thank you very much, Fred. So Joe is leading here with 3 votes for Soundbite of the Week. His reaction to how when gay rights are compared to civil rights. What about the rest of you? There's one vote for soundbite number four, the Pentecostal minister on what being filled with the Holy Spirit is like. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Landy from Prescott, Arizona called, couldn't stay on the line. She voted for number three, so that makes four for Joe Dallas. This is seldom happens that we have one that simply runs away like this. The first one was our caller, Calvin from Seattle, talking about how Scripture isn't a portioned chicken you buy at the butcher shop and then throw away what you don't want to eat. He says you have to digest the whole thing, and he thinks that women's leadership in the church has as much to do with the money as anything else. Pastor David Peterson on the natural knowledge of God versus faith. Joe Dallas leading with four votes on the gay rights movement and the civil rights movement. Our Pentecostal minister talking about spiritual orgasm. And again, for soundbite number five, Pastor David Peterson on whether Paul was worshiping with the Zeus followers on Mars Hill. Here's Vera in St. Louis. Vera, welcome to Issues, Etc. Hi, Vera.
I'm here.
Turn down the radio if you could.
Okay, hold on, please.
All righty. That'll just take a second. Don't worry. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Vera.
Hi, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
I'm doing fine. Which is your soundbite of the week?
Definitely number three. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there is no comparison with gay rights and civil rights. There is no comparison at all. As far as person said, I didn't get his name, gay and lesbians were not brought over as we were. They were not enslaved as we were. They've always had rights to vote that we did not have. As far as I'm concerned, there is no comparison. And I want to comment also on number four, because I am Pentecostal and I do speak in tongues. And I felt kind of bad, you know, didn't know how to relate it to the orgasm, but I know what he's trying to say, the feeling. The feeling is indescribable.
Right.
I feel that it goes as far as saying an orgasm. It goes to the length that you cannot describe it. It's indescribable.
All right,
it's
Vera,
a feeling like burning fire inside you. And I know you have to go, but yeah. Thank you for listening.
And thank you, Vera. Thank you very much. There's still a lot of emphasis there on the feeling, because feelings can come from a lot of different places, Vera. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Matt is calling. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Todd, again. Kind of been in the rules a bit. Number four, and the reason is because that one's got to rank right up there with the, I think it was one popular Pentecostal minister's wife who talked about people need a Holy Ghost enema.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was at the time. It might have been Jan Crouch.
Yeah.
It was Benny Hinn? It was Benny Hinn's wife?
Yeah, I've got the clip on my computer someplace, but it's that was just really strange. And when people talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit like that, I just stop them and ask for a second. Well, you know, I've been at this for a long time, and I've been doing my best with this, and I've prayed, and I've asked for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and I've just never gotten it. I mean, I must really, am I a Christian? Am I really a Christian? That's the question that I ask people when they talk about being infilled like that, to just see, watch their reaction.
Matt, thank you very much. All right, so there are two for number four and two for number three. Two for the Pentecostal minister with his a spiritual orgasm, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for Joe Dallas on equating gay rights with civil rights. 4 minutes left for you to vote. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have no email so far. We'll probably get some afterwards. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's play this Joe Dallas piece one more time, since it's getting the most votes this afternoon. That's soundbite number three.
It is a very bad analogy when people equate the gay rights battle with the battle that African Americans have fought in this country. Gays and lesbians were never shipped over here from another country in chains. We have never bought and sold homosexual people. We have not owned homosexual people. Homosexual people have, in fact, always had the right to vote, to own property, to participate as full citizens. As a matter of fact, studies consistently show that the income of the average homosexual citizen tends to be higher than that of the average heterosexual citizen, and the same certainly cannot be said to this day for African Americans as a population. So the analogy just simply does not hold up.
That's our soundbite of the week so far. I don't think anyone's going to knock it off with 5-2. A few thoughts on this before we wind down today's program. Did you know that, now this isn't a commonly made argument, but it's one that has some currency, that one of the arguments for women's ordination in the church follows along the same lines as the gay rights argument? Did you know that? They say, well, you're discriminating against someone by not allowing them to be a pastor, and you would never discriminate against, say, an African-American man and not allow him to be a pastor. People have made this argument. To which I think we're best to respond, you know what? Paul never prohibits people of different skin colors from serving as pastors in the church. He doesn't. But he does clearly prohibit women from serving as pastors in the church. Not out of malice or hatred for women. Because he understands what it is the pastor is called to do. It has nothing to do with whether or not women have the Holy Spirit or smart enough. It's what the pastor is called to do. He's really truly called to stand in the presence of God's people and speak on Christ's behalf, the words of Christ.